Well, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our worship. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you and worship. Lord, you are worthy of all our praise. You are our great God and our Creator. You have made each one of us. You have made each one of us to worship. Lord, and that's why we are here. We are here to worship. Lord, this is a special day where we celebrate the greatest gift of all, you, Lord Jesus, given for our sins. And Lord, we want to give to you gifts. We want to give to you gifts of ourselves. We want to give to you gifts of singing praise, Lord. We pray that you would prepare our hearts, cleanse our hearts even now. Lord, help us to have acceptable worship to you. Help us to sing your praises. Help us to hear from your word, Lord, and help us to love you with all our hearts. We thank you for those that have had the vision to have this service, a Christmas Day service, Lord. People like George Schultz and Roy and Melissa Scott, Lord, who have upheld this tradition throughout the years. Lord, we thank you that we can stand with them this day in a long line of people who want to set apart the early part of this day to worship you, Lord. And as we give gifts to one another, Lord, we want to make sure that we give you praise and honor and the rightful place that you are due in our lives. So we thank you for this opportunity to worship. Pray that you would receive our worship, Lord, that you would be pleased with our worship. And we pray these things in the name of the one who is given, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Greg and Judy Gillen are going to help us with our worship.
Would you take your hymnal and turn to number 181? I was going to suggest that we imagine on these first two songs that we're shepherds. And that may be better for how we're able to sing. But I want to change that up a little bit, take it a step further. Imagine you're one of the angels this morning as we sing these two songs. Let's stand together. First one is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and then we'll sing Joy to the World. 181. Sing like angels.
Join the triumph of the skies.
70.
Shines in the darkness.
And the darkness has not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God,
whose name was John.
He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light,
that all might believe through him.
He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light.
The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him.
He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him.
But to all who did receive him,
who believed in his name,
he gave the right to become children of God,
who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
John bore witness about him and cried out,
"This was he of whom I said, who comes after me, ranks before me, because he was before me."
And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace.
For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.
The Word became flesh. Amazing. The best gift ever. Aunt Carla sent me a card today. Jesus. The only gift that you can't live without. You know, we tell the children, it's not about the presents, it's about Jesus. And it's so true, but it's hard. It's easier said than done because I really like presents. I think it's kind of fun. And it's really fun to give it. I love giving presents. And I even like to open a few. But I've decided there are two different kinds of gifts. There's the wow gift, and you know what the wow gift is, and there's chocolate-covered cherries. Well, you know the wow gift. Everybody's like, oh, mom's getting the camera. Everybody's going to feel it in the air. There's about to be a wow gift. And they unveil, and it's the drum set you've always wanted. And then everyone knows you hate chocolate-covered cherries, but Grandma doesn't. She thinks it's your favorite candy. So you don't get one box. You actually get three. And you have to eat at least two or three pieces throughout the day because you don't want to hurt Grandma's feelings. Well, Christmas time is a great time to reflect on all the gifts that God has given us throughout the year for you and for your family. And one way our family reflects on those gifts that God has given us is about the week before Christmas, we all start writing letters. And everyone writes a letter to everyone in the family, and we have a tree that just has white lights, no ornaments, except for 63 this year of these scrolls stuck all over it. And yes, it takes a long time, but we read them all, and we laugh, we cry, and it's totally the highlight of my Christmas. It's so, so special. But as I reflected on God's gifts this year, and actually it's over the past few years, I've noticed that there were several wow gifts. You know, the kind that come in a pretty package, and you don't even have to remind yourself, I should be thankful for this. I mean, just, wow, thank you, Lord, like a brand new baby. And $1,000 from a friend who had no idea how desperately we needed $1,000 that day. And countless answers to prayer. Being able to serve at our church that we adore. And this year, Trey and I are going to celebrate 20 years of marriage. What a gift. It's not just kind of a sticking with it kind of marriage. It's we really like each other, and we still have a lot of fun, and we're each other's best friends. And we don't take that for granted. That's a gift from the Lord that we don't deserve. And then we have presents sort of like this one that aren't quite so pretty. And we've gotten a few of those in the last year or so, too, like 7 months of bed rest, and where you just feel kind of like a burden to everyone and think, wow, we're depending on a lot of people to pull it off. And about a month into that bed rest, when your honey comes home and says, I know your blood pressure's up, but I hope this doesn't affect it, but I lost my job today. So, okay. And then your 13-year-old son is covered with blisters from head to toe, mouth just full of sores where he can't even eat. He's just so miserable. And after almost a week at Riley Hospital, your family learns how to say erythema multiforme. Whatever. We don't even know what that is. And so from like the biggies, from a sick child to on the way home from Riley Hospital, just me and everyone else, a flat tire at 70 in post, 15 degrees. So from the big things to the little things, some of those gifts we don't recognize as readily as gifts. And we all have those, the disappointments, the discouragements, the trials. But I'm learning, and it's not a new truth, but the Lord just continues to cement it in my heart and in my family, that everything is from His hands. Everything is from Him. He's the ruler, the King of the universe, our perfect Father. He's in charge. And Ecclesiastes 7 says, consider what God has done. Who can straighten what He has made crooked? When things are good, be happy. When things are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. And you know, in Romans 8, that we're all so familiar with now, God says He's working all things together for good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. It's a very specific purpose, that we would glorify God by becoming more like His Son, Jesus. Well, through those not-so-pretty gifts in the last several years, we have seen the Lord do amazing things, faith being strengthened, sin being exposed and dealt with. We are trusting Him more and more every day. We have a fresh appreciation for the body of Christ who came alongside us, over 150 meals, helped with cleaning, amazing help. Our kids have learned faith and character and responsibility, even being fired. The Lord would take something as dramatic and disappointing as that and allow Honey to just try His hand at being a business owner, and His entrepreneurial wings have been spread. Praise God for His gifts. So it encourages me, and I just pray that it encourages you this morning, that we can count it all joy. The pretty packages and the not-so-pretty packages. Because it may not be obvious now, and we may not even know till heaven, but we just trust, we wait, we pray, that it may just end up that one of your ugliest packages ends up being a wow gift after all. Thank you, Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Lori. I knew that would be someone good to give a good testimony, all the things that have gone on in their lives. And also Lori's ability to draw you in and get you excited about what the Lord has done in her life and her family's life. Well, I'm going to invite the children, if we have children here, to come on up. We're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Mr. Greg and Mrs. Judy are going to help out with that. But I want the kids to come up, and I'm going to give them the song sheet for that. So kids, come on up.
Singing number 176. Will you take a hymnal and join with us? We're ready for verse 2. Just across the page, number 178, O Come All Ye Faithful. Thank you. Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 through 20. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord.
I'm going to have a scripture reading from my family, Matthew 1, 18 through 25.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to a public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly.
But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
I have a question for you. Have you ever rescued anyone? You ever rescued anyone? Well, I remember I was about 8 or 9 years old, probably Tanner's age. And I went to a babysitter's. My mom was a single mom. She raised me. And so at times I had to go to a babysitter, like if there was an in-service day at school and she had to go to work. I went to a babysitter's while my mother worked. And this babysitter that I went to on one occasion, she had a 1 to 2 year old son. You know, he could walk, but he wasn't anything older than two. And that day, the babysitter decided to take me to the swimming pool. It was an in-service day, and thought it'd be something fun to do for the day. And I don't know where my babysitter was, but I was swimming. I could swim. You know, old enough to do that. And I don't know where she was. But her 1 to 2 year old son was walking around on the deck, and I don't know where she was, but somehow this 1 to 2 year old son, he fell in the pool. And I'm sitting there having fun and looking around. Nobody else was there. I didn't see my babysitter. I'm thinking, well, it's probably just not a very good thing. I know that the child can walk, but I don't think he can swim. And so I raced over there, swam over there and scooped him up and brought him out of the pool. And you know, he's gasping for air and whatnot. And, you know, I'm sitting there holding him. And then, you know, my babysitter appeared. I don't know where she was, maybe going to the bathroom or talking with a friend somewhere else. She appeared and I told her what had happened. I said, you know, he fell in the pool. I went over and I basically saved him. I got him out so he didn't drown. And she was just so thankful. And she said, basically, you saved his life. You saved his life. Well, Matthew 1:21, one of the verses that was read, Amber read that one, tells us about an infinitely greater rescue. It tells us about the greatest rescue of all time. You know, mine was pretty insignificant. Probably somebody would have come along and found that child and probably pulled him out of the water. And, you know, even if I did save his life, it was just for this life. It wasn't an eternal rescue that I did. But Matthew 1:21, it talks about a great rescue. It talks about an eternal rescue. And it talks about a rescue that isn't just for one person. It's for all people. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 1:21 real quick, ever so briefly, I want to look at three things in this passage. Matthew 1:21, the greatest rescue of all time. It says this, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And I want to focus on that last little part of the verse there. It says, "He will save his people from their sins." Did you catch that? He will save his people from their sins. The word there for save, it's the word sozo. It means to rescue. To rescue. Jesus Christ, the eternal second member of the Trinity, who created the world, came into the world to be a rescuer. He's a rescuer. Well, now we have to ask ourselves, a rescuer from what? What is the perilous danger that is going on? Well, again, it's there in the verse. It says, he will save his people from their sins. From our sins. And thank God for that. That's just what we needed. Have you ever received a Christmas gift that wasn't quite what you needed? wasn't quite what you needed, whether it's a one-size-fits-all blouse. I got my wife that one time. She didn't really need that. How about a Billy the Bass fish? Didn't really need that, did you? How about a candle with no wick? Don't really need that. That's not really something you need. But God doesn't give gifts like that. He sent a rescuer to meet our greatest need, to be rescued from sin. And we all know, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Sin pays death. So Christ came as a rescuer to rescue people from their sins. He didn't come to boost our self-esteem. He didn't come so that we could have our best life now. He didn't come so that we can go on our merry little way, get our fire insurance from Jesus, go on and live our lives the way we want them to do. No, he died for our sins. He died for our rebellion. He died a death that you deserve to die, and I deserve to die, for transgressing the law of God, for transgressing the law of a holy God. And we all know that the three P's. He died to take away the penalty of sin that we all deserve, which is an eternity away from the presence of God in the lake of fire. He died to take away the power of sin in your life so that you can walk with him and as he intended you to, that you can reflect his glory as he intended you to. And he came to take away the presence of sin once and for all, so that you could walk with him all the days of your life until he takes you to be with him in heaven and there will be no more sin. That, my friends, is a rescue. That is a rescue. Well, the last question we have to ask about this verse is, who did he come to rescue? Who did he come to rescue? Well, the verse says it right there, Matthew 1:21. He will save his people from their sins. His people. He will save or rescue his people. Well, who are his people? Just the Jews, maybe? Just the Jews? Or maybe it was just the disciples back in the time of Jesus. No, that's not the case. The good news of Christmas, the good news of Christmas is John 1:12. It was read by the Ogden family. But as many as received him, Christ, To them he gave the right to become children of God. Those are his people. Those who have received him are his people. And if you've received Christ, if you've repented of your sins, trusted him for salvation, then you are rescued. You are rescued. And thus, this Christmas and every Christmas, it means everything to you. That's why you chose to come here and worship today. That's why you chose to come to worship Christ on his birthday, because he is your rescuer. And we say with gratitude to him, like my babysitter said to me, we say to God, you saved my life. And let me live for you, Lord. I pray that would be the cry of each of our hearts and the reality of each of our hearts. Well, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask Tony Johnson if he'll come up after, and he's going to do a dramatic reading for us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which tells us that, Lord Jesus, you are the great rescuer, that you have come to save your people from sin. Lord, we thank you for that. It's just what we needed, a rescuer to be saved from sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank you for that. Lord, help us to live our lives for you and express that gratitude not only today, but throughout all the days of our lives. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
The true night before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the earth, all of God's people were awaiting the time of Christ's birth. The various prophecies God-given with care came to pass on one night in Judea there. The people were scattered throughout Israel's lands, paying their taxes at Caesar's command. Young Mary, with Joseph, a spouse to be wed, descendants of David, to Bethlehem sped. It was late in the evening when they arrived there that day. They found at the inn there was no place to stay. Away in a stable, no place for a guest, they settled that couple to find them some rest. The stars shone unusually bright to herald the event that was to take place that night. While there on the hay, her time now full come, the Virgin, dear Mary, gave birth to God's Son. With no crib to lie in, a stable for sheep became for our Savior a place for his sleep. Moreover, that night in a field calm and still, there were shepherds resting serenely until, when suddenly, through the darkness of the sky, God's glory shone round, all quaking and frightening, they fell to the ground. To these, as they trembled, God's messenger came, good tidings of great joy to all to proclaim. For you, on this day, in a city close by, a baby, your Savior, in a manger does lie. So go to the stable, and there you will find the baby in swaddling clothes. He lies there entwined. And then, in a twinkling, was heard through the air all praise of the angels assembled there, saying, glory to God, all glory and praise, goodwill among men and peace throughout their days. When the angels returned to heaven above, there stood the shepherds, amazed by God's love. A moment they wondered, then hastily they ran, found Mary and Joseph, and God's gift to all men. The baby, oh, the precious little baby named Jesus, man's Savior from sin, had come. and has promised his work to begin. His little eyes not quite opened, so much they would see of man's hatred and failures and misery. The shepherds, the wonder made known as they went, told all the gift to mankind was sent. The star, that same star that proclaimed the birth, was shining for all people all over the earth. The wise men saw it, knew what it meant, that the Savior God has promised this world had been sent. They left all to find a baby, 'tis true. He came as their Savior, but he came for us too. Once more, it's Christmas time, the time of Christ's birth, a holiday season. Is that all it's worth? No. No, no. There's more. There's hope in this message. There's forgiveness from sin for all who will receive him and let him come in. So, as we celebrate Christ's birthday, let's celebrate right. Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
"187 is Away in a Manger." 187.
Laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awaits, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me. I pray, bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and bid us for heaven to live with thee.
And back a page to 184, Silent Night, Holy Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Savior is born.
Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world.
This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son.
She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Would you stand with me? Angels We Have Heard on High is number 179.
Angels We Have Heard on High. on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous praise. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
To 183, we'll sing the first verse of O Holy Night, 183.
Standing, we're going to close in prayer. I just want to thank you for coming out this morning and starting your Christmas off the right way, starting it off in worship to our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we're so grateful and exuberant and thankful for this time that we are able to come and worship you, to sing great songs which proclaim a great truth. Lord, to you and just worship you as your people. Lord, I pray that each one here would be rescued from their sin, that we would be living lives that are pleasing to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the greatest gift of all that you gave. You gave your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His precious blood has washed away the sins of his people. Lord, help us to go in a spirit of worship. And as we give gifts to each other now, Lord, may it be because of the greatest gift that you have given. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.